ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता चैप्टर 9, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज, टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम् हेतुनानेन कौन्तेय जगद् विपरिवर्तते। ट्रांसलेशन अंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: दिस मटेरियल नेचर विच इज वन ऑफ माय एनर्जीज इज वर्किंग अंडर माय डायरेक्शन वो सन ऑफ कुंती, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Purport: it is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the supreme will and the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that of all of the living entities in different forms and species, I am the father. The father gives seeds to the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his mere glance, injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species, according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So the Lord is not directly attached to this material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord. But he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in the Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person. Yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glance and ordains. In summary, material nature, without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। सो वेलकम द डिवोटीज फॉर द इवनिंग भगवद्गीता क्लास। सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द 9th चैप्टर, टेक्स्ट नंबर 10। सो इन द प्रीवियस वर्स व्हिच वाज डिस्कस्ड ऑन यस्टरडे, कृष्णा सेड, O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. So in the previous verse, Krishna talked about how he is completely detached from everything. Krishna said that how by his will everything was created and everything is created and annihilated. But although by his will everything is going on, but still he is detached from everything. And in this verse, again, Krishna is saying that how by his own will everything is going on. Normally, when a person says that, okay, I am detached from everything, then one may think that he is actually not in control of everything. Usually, a person will be detached when he does not have any control over anything. When he is not able to do something, sometimes people think, oh, such a person is detached. Usually, sometimes when students start taking to Krishna consciousness, when a person starts practicing Krishna consciousness, sometimes some people ask the question, is it that you are not able to achieve something in your life, that is why you are taken to Krishna consciousness? Or is it that maybe do you have some love failure or something? Sometimes people think, oh, one has the conception that one becomes detached when he is not able to achieve something in his life. When he is not able to control something, when he does not have any because he is not able to earn some money, or he is not able to study nicely or something. Sometimes people think, oh, such a person only takes to spirituality. But here, Krishna is actually saying that I am detached from everything in the previous verse. But in this verse, he says, this material nature is working under my direction. Krishna is saying that actually everything is going on by my direction. I am in complete control of everything, but still I am detached. So that is the personality of Krishna. In fact, Krishna says that, O son of Kunti, this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So in this verse, Krishna is actually declaring very clearly that everything is going on by his will. The whole material world, the creation, maintenance and annihilation, everything is going on with the help of material energy, which is working under Krishna's direction. So although everything is working under Krishna's direction, he is actually detached. It's just like, usually, suppose a company is there. In a company, there are big managers are there, chief executive officers, chief financial officer, chief technical officer. So many officers are working in order that the company may make a lot of profits. But the owner of the company, he will be playing some golf in some New York or some different countries. He'll be traveling from one country to another country playing golf and some nice enjoying. So owner actually does not work hard. He just appoints different people and then they actually work on behalf of them. Just because the owner is not working hard, that does not mean that he is not the owner of the company. He simply enjoys. So similarly, the whole material world is actually working under material energy, which is actually working under the control of Krishna. But Krishna is not directly involved in the creation and annihilation of this universe. He is completely detached from all the workings of the material world. He simply enjoys. So that is the character of Krishna, that he is the supreme controller, but then at the same time, he does not directly get involved in the workings of this material world. So, in this verse, we can clearly understand that there is a God in control. Maya dyakshena prakritihi. By my will, the material nature is working under my direction. So Krishna is clearly saying that he is under, he is the controller of everything. So many people do not believe in God. Sometimes people say that, okay, I don't believe in God, but I am good, like, I am good to everyone. I will behave in such a way that I will not commit any violence to anyone. Actually, it is not possible. So when a person does not believe in God, it actually, one's lifestyle also changes. Because when a person does not accept an authority, and the person thinks, oh, there is no God in control, it is not possible to be good to everyone. Such a person, he thinks, oh, if at some point in time, he will think, okay, God is, there is nobody under, there is nobody in control, there is nobody watching my activities, so I will do anything and everything. So one of the atheistic philosopher, Charvak, he said, Rinam Kritva, Grinam Kritva. He said that beg, borrow or steal, but eat only foodstuffs made of ghee. Do not think, do not worry about the future. This life is going to end at the time of death. Basically this, you may not be able to appreciate it, but what this Charvak philosophy, Charvak is saying is that you do whatever you want, but then just eat foodstuffs made of ghee. Eating foodstuffs made of ghee, that is actually real enjoyment. Nowadays people are not aware of that. So in Kali Yuga, this example may not apply. But what he is saying is that do whatever you want, but make sure that you can enjoy your senses to the fullest capacity. You can steal or you can borrow from somebody or you can beg from somebody. What you can do, perform any other sinful activities, but then make sure that you satisfy your senses to the fullest capacity. Or the modern world, people are actually, they actually want to, the modern civilization, the principle is that I should get happiness at this moment. They are acting based on instincts. So Charvak philosophy, he is also saying, do whatever you want, just enjoy fully. Don't worry about the future, because after this, at the time of death, when the body dies, that is the end of this life. After that, you are not going to take birth again. You are not going to be punished for the any of the sinful activities you perform. So when a person does not accept any authority in his life, when a person does not believe in God, then one's lifestyle also changes. One cannot simply be one cannot act simply being good to others. One's lifestyle will change. So, just to think that there, God does not exist, it does not actually make sense. It is like, suppose a doctor is examining the patient. Doctor checks the BP. BP is perfectly normal. He checks the heartbeat. Heartbeat is normal. He does all the tests, blood tests, CBC, ESR, etc. Everything is within limits. He checks all the vitamins. Everything is normal. He does whole body scan, CT scan, MRI, everything is normal. And then finally doctor says, but the person is dead. Somebody says like that, will somebody be able to accept it? Everything is heartbeat, everything is functioning normal. Normal report is mentioning, but then patient is dead. It will be such a ridiculous statement. So similarly, in this world, we see that the planets are going in perfect orbit. Seasons are changing perfectly. In every body, like if you just analyze the human body, there is such complicated mechanism within the human body. So the whole, there is complete order and design in the whole world. What is because of the whole world? There is complete order and design even in a cell in a particular body. Scientists say that a cell is a city in itself. Such a complicated structure. After analyzing everything, the scientists say, oh, there is no God in control. Means it's a completely ridiculous statement. That is why it takes greater amount of faith and imagination to accept that there is no God than to accept that there is God in this world. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai. So in order to accept that there is no God, you need to actually put some lot of faith and you need to imagine lot. But to accept that there is God, you don't need to put much effort. Because it is too obvious. So once Srila Prabhupada was going in a morning walk with Dr. Patel. So Prabhupada asked, Dr. Patel asked, what is your opinion about this particular politician who is actually favoring cow slaughter? Prabhupada said, he is a fool and rascal. Then again Dr. Patel asked, what is your opinion about this particular person who says that Bhagavad Gita is useless? Prabhupada said, he is also fool and rascal. So then Prabhupada asked Dr. Patel, what is your opinion about the atheistic Kapila? So Dr. Patel said, he is fool and rascal. Prabhupada said, now you have begun to understand Krishna consciousness. So to think that there is no God in control, it is actually such a foolish conception. So Krishna is very clearly, boldly declaring that the whole material energy is working under my control. Like once a group of scientists, in fact 99 scientists from 11 different countries, they worked under two Nobel laureates. And they performed research for 15 years. What research did they perform? They were doing research to find out how to extract this B12 vitamin in the laboratory. How to prepare this B12 vitamin in the laboratory. 99 scientists are working. After 15 years of research, they actually produced some 0.5 or 1 milligram of B12 vitamin in the laboratory. But the same B12 vitamin is abundantly available in the nature. The vegetables and so many things. So it is obvious that like people have to work hard to create few milligrams of B12 vitamin which is available in abundant quantity in the nature. Which is actually working under the Supreme Lord. So to accept that God does not exist, one needs to have greater faith and imagination. It is completely unnatural. So when a person thinks that there is no God in control, then it can lead to such extreme degree of selfishness that one can think to the extent that I love, that only I have the right to love. Nobody else has the right to love. Like once in France, one particular king asked the minister that how is the country doing, how are the people doing. The minister said, so there is so much of prosperity in the country, everyone is enjoying nicely. But the king, he could not tolerate. How can everyone enjoy? Only I can enjoy. Then the minister said, there are 5 lakh extra people. Then the king said, slaughter everyone. Kill everyone. So this philosophy that God does not exist, it is actually such a dangerous philosophy. It can lead to such a great degree of selfishness that it can cause great violence. In fact, the modern role models of people are like, there was one atheistic actress from one Hollywood actress. When she was on the deathbed, she was in the hospital, one nurse was praying to God. And because this actress was atheistic, she said, she was about to die, then she shouted at the nurse, why are you praying to God? Stop praying. And then she left the body. That was the last word uttered by that actress, who is like a role model for many thousands of people. Not only just one particular actress. We see practically those who are like celebrities and role models, they basically, even though they may say, okay, we believe in God, but then if you see their lifestyle, that actually does not correspond to their belief. If somebody actually believes in God, actually accepts God exists, then one will not lead a lifestyle of callousness and trying to enjoy everything. So practically, we see the big celebrities and role models whom people are people praise or people look forward to. Either they openly declare themselves as atheists, or even if they don't declare themselves as atheists, actually their lifestyle says that they believe that there is no God, because they are living such a lifestyle of complete sense gratification. In fact, in Australia, they made a survey of what are the best-selling books. And they found out the 3 best-selling books in Australia. The first book was named There Is No God. Second book, How Religion Is the Cause of All Problems. Third book, How Religion Spoils Everything. At one point of time, these are the big best-selling books. People are actually trying to read these books and in order to become happy. But then, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's purports, just in few sentences, he gives the complete program for happiness. Just in few sentences, what to speak of few sentences, sometimes just in one particular word, Prabhupada actually gives such deep message that we cannot even imagine that how great Srila Prabhupada is. We will come to that towards the end of the class, that how Prabhupada gives such highly enlightened message just in one particular word-to-word translation of one particular verse. We will see that at the end. So basically the point is that people are trying to read these such books which openly declare that God does not exist in order to become happy. But then they are not ready to read even few sentences of Bhagavad Gita, which actually gives solution to all problems in all time, place and circumstance. So there are 2 kinds of atheism. One atheism is philosophical atheism, another is called psychological atheism. So philosophical atheism, so you think, okay, God does not exist because I'm not able to see God. If God exists, if he is the supreme controller, he should be able to control everything. I'm not able to see that how God is controlling everything. So they start a philosophy, they create their own concocted philosophy, and then they say that God does not exist. Like one particular person, he said, he went to a temple, he saw a rat crawling near the deity of Lord Shiva. And then he said, if Lord Shiva, if he cannot even drive away the rat, how can he protect me? Then why should I worship such idols? Then he went on to start what is called as Arya Samaj, which condemned deity worship. So they create a philosophy which says that God does not exist. Or another, like when the communists took over, like Russia and other countries, they started breaking the idols, statues in the churches. And then they would declare to the people, see, we are breaking the idols. If there is God in that, then he should be protecting, na? He's not doing anything. That means these are all just idols. God does not exist. So when Krishna wants to make a person fall down, first he removes the intelligence of the person. Then automatically the person falls. It's like this communist, he broke all this thing, and then they declared, oh, God does not exist. But the psychological atheism is actually even more dangerous. Psychological atheism is like, one may accept, okay, God exists. But then, when some difficult situations come in his life, then such a person will say, okay, God does not exist. If God exists, then he should be all loving, all merciful. Because so many difficulties are coming, then how can I accept that God exists? One Nazi, he said that I will not accept a punishing God. I will accept only a dancing and loving God. So this is psychological atheism. Basically, such a person will maybe theoretically accept God exists, but then when some difficult situations come, then you will say God does not exist. Or if God exists, then he cannot have all the three qualities. That is all-knowing, all-merciful, and all-powerful. Because if he has all the three qualities, then he should have protected me. He should not have given difficulties in my life. So God can have only two of the qualities. Either one of the two of the qualities. He can be either all-knowing and all-powerful. But then he cannot be all-merciful. Because if he is all-merciful, maybe all-knowing and all-powerful, but then, because he is not all-merciful, he has not protected me. Or he is all-powerful and all-merciful, but then he is not all-knowing. Because if you are all-knowing, then he would have known my suffering, and then he would have saved me from the sufferings. So this is psychological atheism, that when difficult situations come, one will actually forget God. So, but then in this verse, from this verse we can very clearly understand that how everything is working under Krishna's direction. It is not that everything is happening automatically. Krishna is in control. And another point, as I said in the beginning, that how Krishna is under control, at the same time he is detached from everything. He is, like in the previous verse, he said, all this work do not bind me, I am completely detached. So Krishna is in control, but at the same time he is detached. So there is a nice example. In fact, this comes in Bhagavad Gita itself. In the 11th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachi. Krishna is telling to Arjuna, just become my instrument. Like many people write competitive exams. Say somebody is writing, say, joint entrance examination, JEE exam. Or somebody may be writing CET or CA or AIMS. So many competitive exam. Then somebody is, he is selected as the, he has got first rank all over India. So then the school calls him, they want to facilitate him. So you got the first rank. So we want to honor you. Will he say, actually I have not written the exam. My pen has written the exam. So you should be giving credit to the pen, isn't it? Why are you giving me the credit? So nobody says like that. In this world, nobody actually gives credit to the instrument. But then, actually Krishna is the only person who actually gives credit to the instrument. Krishna is telling to Arjuna, actually I have killed all these people in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I already killed. Even if you do not fight, they are going to be killed. But I want you to take the credit. Just become my instrument. Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachi. So Krishna is actually doing everything, but then he is so detached that he is giving the credit to the instrument. It's not possible to find such a person in the world. In fact, people want to take credit for those things which they have not done. But Krishna does not want to take credit for things which he is doing, but in fact he is giving the credit to somebody else. He is giving the credit to instrument. So that is the detachment of Lord Krishna. There is another verse in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam which tells about the Lord's detachment. Lord Shiva is saying, Yo maya yedam pururupa yasrajat bibarti bhuya kshapayatya vikriya yad beda buddhi sadivatma dustaya tvam atma tantram bhagavan pratimahi. Lord Shiva says that you have got many fold energies. Yo maya yedam pururupa yasrijat. By your many fold energies, you are actually creating, you are creating this material world, and you are maintaining this material world as if it is permanent. And although you are maintaining the material world as if it is permanent, but you only annihilate it. Amazing statement. Normally, when a person is putting so much of effort to maintain something, will he ever annihilate it? If somebody annihilates something which he only is maintaining, normal people will call such a person as crazy. Krishna is creating and he is maintaining the material world as if it is permanent, but then he only annihilates it. It is such a difficult thing. Like when a person is maintaining something, when something goes here and there, then one will become so much disturbed. Because the attachment of the maintainer towards the object of his object which he maintains is greater than the attachment of the objects which are maintained towards the maintainer. So maintainer has great attachment, but then Lord only annihilates the material world. And Lord Shiva is saying, Yat Beda Buddhi Sadivatma Dushtaya Tvam Atma Tantram Bhagavan Pratimahi. Lord Shiva says, but then, although you create, maintain and annihilate, you are never disturbed by such changes. But the ordinary living entities, they are very much disturbed by these changes. Because by these changes of something is created, maintained and then annihilated. Because why are they disturbed? Because they think that this is meant for my enjoyment. And then they become attached to it. They do not understand that actually Krishna is the supreme controller. They do not understand that everything belongs to Krishna. Because they do not understand this point, they become very much disturbed that when something is annihilated, when something is taken away. Tvam Atma Tantram Bhagavan Pratimahi. You are the supreme independent. You are never affected by these changes. Ordinary people cannot understand your position. But great devotees like Lord Shiva, they are able to understand the Supreme Lord's position. In fact, how Krishna is so detached, we can understand that Krishna says in the 4th chapter of the Gita, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avyayam. Krishna says that the 4 varnas and ashramas are created by me. I am the creator of this system of varnashram. The 4 varnas are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The 4 ashramas are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So Krishna has created the system. So when somebody creates a particular system, then usually he would expect others to follow that system, isn't it? Like any person, we can just, like every person in this world, like he has leader in to some degree or other. Say suppose you are working in the company, so you are create a particular system how those who are working under you should work. Then when somebody is not, that means you expect others to follow that system. When somebody is making some rules and regulations, you would want that others should follow the system. When somebody is not following, then you will become completely disturbed. You would want to do something those who are not following. But the same Krishna who has created this Varnashram system, when he appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was having the conversation with Ramananda Rai, his devotee. So Lord Chaitanya Prabhu asked that what is the the question? He asked, I think, like, what is the goal of life, something like that. Or what is the ultimate goal of life or something like that, he asked. So then Ramananda Rai, first he answered by quoting this point that the ultimate purpose of life is to follow this Varnashram Dharma. Because it is said that simply by following the duties mentioned in the Varnashram system, one can actually please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So when Ramananda Rai said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response was, no, this Varnashram is external. I want something more. The same Supreme Lord Krishna who has created this Varnashram system, when he appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said this Varnashram system is external. This is the detachment of Lord Krishna. Usually when a person creates something, he'll be so much attached that he would want others to follow the system. But Krishna is completely detached. And what happens when a person becomes a devotee of Krishna? And when a person, in fact, understands how Krishna is detached, how Krishna is the supreme controller, even a person who understands this characteristic of Krishna, he also gets the same quality of Krishna. He also becomes completely detached. Like Srila Prabhupada, when we compare Srila Prabhupada with the mundane authors, like when mundane authors, when they write their books, when somebody has to refer those books, they will have to pay something to those authors. Like there's something called intellectual property rights. When somebody has invented something, or when somebody has written a book, if you are using that book or something, you have to pay intellectual property rights to that particular person. But Prabhupada is a person who has given intellectual property rights for all the people, for all the world, for all time to come. He has written the books, and he has not created some intellectual property rights. So somebody has to use his books, then they have to pay so much to me. So that is a detachment of a devotee. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. So when the devotees bought a new temple, new building for ISKCON. So then they had arranged for a press conference for Srila Prabhupada. So the press conference was arranged in the evening. They had called many reporters from different magazines and newspapers. So the devotees cooked a feast for 100 press reporters. They had arranged chairs, etc. But then, the evening one reporter came. And then Prabhupada gave lecture with full enthusiasm, as if thousands of people were present in the assembly, eager to hear. And devotees finally apologized after the program. We are very sorry, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we should arrange the press conference in the daytime. Because in the evening time, it is actually out of their working hours. That's why very few people came. We are sorry that we arranged in the daytime. We are sorry for our mistake. Prabhupada said, don't feel discouraged. In fact, he said, all the glorification of the people of this world is like the braying of the donkeys. And we are not looking for the glorification of the donkeys. We are not looking for the braying of the donkeys. We want certificate from Krishna. So this is the detachment. Even when there is a situation in which a person does not have any enthusiasm, when person will not have any enthusiasm to speak about Krishna, Krishna Prabhupada showed the highest enthusiasm. In fact, what to speak of just detachment, he showed complete attachment to Krishna. And we see this particular quality that when a person accepts that how Krishna is in control, then such a person remains happy in all circumstances. In fact, in even the most distressful circumstances. So in regards to that, we will refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, the narration comes when Yudhishthira Maharaj, after he was enthroned as the emperor of the whole planet Earth, at one point of time, he sent Arjuna to Dwaraka to find out, he wanted to find out the plans of Lord Krishna. He wanted to find out that the plans of Lord Krishna so that he can assist in the mission of Lord Krishna. Great devotees like Yudhishthira Maharaj always want to serve the Supreme Lord. So he was, although he was the emperor of the whole planet Earth, even in that situation he is very much anxious to know about the plan of Lord Krishna so that he can assist in the mission of Lord Krishna. Then he sent Arjuna, and then he was waiting for Arjuna's arrival. Many months had passed. But then he started seeing many ill omens all over the country. So in the Vedic culture, whenever a person sees so many ill omens, then he can understand that something wrong is going to happen or something wrong has happened. And then at last he was waiting for Arjuna's arrival, and then at last Arjuna comes. When Arjuna comes, Arjuna was looking so morose. In fact, Arjuna had lost all the bodily luster. Arjuna was such a powerful warrior, but then he had lost all bodily luster. And he was looking so morose. It is said, face is the index of the mind. Just by seeing the face of a person, one can understand what is going on in the mind, whether he is happy or unhappy. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj saw the face of Arjuna, how he is so depressed and morose, you can understand something wrong. Then he asked a series of questions to Arjuna. Are you unhappy because of this reason? Are you unhappy because you are not welcomed the guest properly? Are you unhappy because you are not given shelter to people who came to you to take shelter of you? Are you unhappy because of such and such? He asked a series of questions. Then ultimately he asked, is it that your most dear friend, Lord Krishna, has left this planet? Has he gone back to the spiritual world? Is it because of that reason that you are unhappy? So then Arjuna starts answering. Arjuna says, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandurupina Yename Pahritam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. Arjuna is saying, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the great demigods, is no longer with me. Vanchitoham Maharaja. Arjuna is saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has left this planet. Because he has left this planet, the power which I had, which astonished even the great demigods, is no longer with me. In fact, Arjuna starts remembering verse after Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. He says that no one can be independently powerful without being endowed by the Lord. Whatever power we have in this world, it is actually coming from the Lord. Arjuna had such powers that he could actually astonish even the great demigods by his power. But Krishna took away even those powers from Arjuna, because those powers were needed, were given to Arjuna in order to execute the mission of the Lord. Because the mission of the Lord is completed, so those powers were taken away from Arjuna, because those powers were no longer needed for Arjuna to go back to the spiritual world. So in order to go back to the spiritual world, or in order to attract the Lord's mercy, one does not need power. One does not need like power or some opulence or beauty or knowledge or wealth. What one needs is humility and service attitude. In fact, it is said in the Christian teachings, humble and meek enter the kingdom of God. So Arjuna the mission of the Lord is over, so Krishna took away all the powers because they were no longer needed for Arjuna to go back to the spiritual world. So then Prabhupada makes an interesting point. He says that if endowment of powers and withdrawal of such powers were possible for a great devotee like Arjuna or demigods of heaven, then what to speak of ordinary living beings? Like usually ordinary living entities, we are proud of our small power. But even Arjuna, who had such great power, if powers could be taken away from such a devotee like Arjuna, then what to speak of ordinary person like you and me? So powers can be taken away from us also at any time. So whatever we have been given, so our duty is to just utilize whatever ability or power in the service of the Supreme Lord. That is the perfection. Because whatever power or opulence or anything, ability we have, it can be taken away by the Lord. If it can be taken away by even from his pure duty like Arjuna, then what to speak of us? So whatever we have, we should simply utilize in the service of the Supreme Lord. So that is the perfection of everything. So then Arjuna says, Yasya kshana viyogena loko hya priya darshanaha uktena rahito hyesha mritaka prochyate yata. Arjuna is saying, I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. Krishna, Arjuna is saying, because the Supreme Lord has left this planet, all the universes have become null and void. Just like when the soul leaves the body, there is no use of the body. The same body, which is just before death and after death, if we observe, just before death, people are surrounded, people are like, all the relatives are surrounding, they're trying to pacify him, they are to speak consoling words, are crying. Immediately after the person dies, they want to actually dispose the body as soon as possible. Immediately they fix the cremate, when should be cremate. So when the soul leaves the body, there is no value to the body. Even if it's a Miss Universe or Mr. Universe. So Prabhupada, similarly, because the Supreme Lord has left this planet, all the universes have become null and void. So Prabhupada writes a purport, without the living being, material body has no value. And without the super soul or the Paramatma, living being has no status quo. And without the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Paramatma or Brahman has no locus standing. Anyway, we don't have time to explain this statement. But basically the point is that when you have Krishna in your life, when you have God in your life, then actually your life has some value. If you are not connected to God, then actually even if you may have the lot of opulences, but then there is no value to the life. So then, I'll just take few minutes, because there is one important point we want to address. So then Arjuna starts recollecting how by Krishna's grace he actually defeated so many people. He says that how by Krishna's grace he was able to vanquish all the lusty princes who were assembled in the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi. When Draupadi was going to be married, they had conducted a Swayamvara ceremony. That her father had arranged, that he had arranged a competition that one who can marry Draupadi should be able to shoot this eye of this particular fish by seeing the reflection of the fish in the water. Only Arjuna could actually do that. There was so many princes were there, but none of them could perform the act. Arjuna could do that. Arjuna is saying, actually by Krishna's grace I could perform that act. And then he says that because of Krishna's mercy, I could defeat even the demigods like Indra. Huh? Somebody like suppose, he says that, we'll come to the example later, but I could defeat the demigods like Indra, and he could defeat great demigods like Lord Shiva. Huh? Arjuna says that I could actually, like even Lord Shiva was astonished when I fought with him. And then Lord Shiva gave so many weapons to me. And seeing that all the demigods also gave so many weapons to me. So Arjuna is recollecting this way. So many instances in which Arjuna actually could astonish so many people. He could defeat so many people by Krishna's mercy. Arjuna says that when I went to the heavenly planets, the demigods approached me in order to defeat a demon called a Nivata Kavach. And I defeated the demon Nivata Kavach because I had the mercy of Lord Krishna. Because of him I could defeat. Huh. So in this way, Arjuna is remembering. And then at the end he says, but now because Krishna has left this planet, I have been defeated by some infidel cowherd man. It is just like, give the example, suppose the fastest bowler in the West Indies cricket team or Australian cricket team, who can actually shake the hearts of any batsman in the world, if he is actually bowling with the same speed, just behind our temple or in some ordinary street, if he is playing with some ordinary, some 8th standard boys, but the fastest cricket bowler of Australian cricket team is bowling with the same speed to some ordinary boys who are some 8th standard boys, and the 8th standard boys actually is hitting the ball so fast that the ball goes miles away. What will be such a big, how much insult that fast bowler will feel? Huh? Or the greatest batsman in the whole cricket, suppose if he is playing with some ordinary, say 8th standard boys, and in the first ball he gets clean bowled, how much he will feel insulted? Huh? So similarly, Arjuna is saying that I have defeated so many kings and demigods, but then I have been defeated by some infidel cowherd man. He says, Tadvai danusta ishavaha sarato hayaste soham rati nripatayo yata anamanti. I have the same Gandiva bow. I have the same arrows. I have the same chariot. And I am the same warrior Arjuna who are defeated all the great demigods. Nripatayo yata anamanti. But then, sarvam kshanena tadabhut asadisha riktam. But all these powers have been taken away in a moment. Sarvam kshanena. Within a moment, all these powers had been taken away. Because Krishna had left this planet. And all these powers have become null and void. They have become completely useless. All these Gandiva bow arrows. Just like they were useless, like pouring ghee into the ashes. Or when you pour ghee into the ashes, then there is no use of that. You have to pour ghee into the fire when you perform sacrifice. Or when you acquire money through some magical feat, that money will not last. There is no use of that. Or when you sow seed in a barren land, it will not give rise to anything. So similarly, I have the same Gandiva bow, arrows, etc. But then because Krishna has left, all these things have become useless. I have been defeated by some infidel cowherd man. Then he speaks this verse. He says, Deshakalartha yuktani hrittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittam govinda bihitani me. Arjuna is saying, now I have been attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Now, Arjuna is in the most distressful situation because he had been defeated by some infidel cowherd man. The same Arjuna defeated so many people. It is like the greatest insult to Arjuna. The most distressful situation for Kshatriya. Infamy is worse than death. So in this circumstance, Arjuna is again taking shelter of the instructions of Krishna. And he is saying that these instructions of Krishna, they have the capacity to remove the distress in all time, place and circumstance. Just like when you have darkness, what is the solution for darkness? Light. What was the solution 500 years back? Same light. What is the solution now? Same light. What is the solution? What will be the solution after 500 years? So time does not matter. And the solution will be same whether in India or in America. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita's instructions, they are meant for all time, place and circumstance. And most importantly, I want to talk about this particular word. Arjuna is addressing Krishna by the word Govinda. I am imparted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's books, usually the word Govinda is translated as the controller of one who gives pleasure to the cows and senses, the controller of senses. But then in this particular purport, in this particular verse, Prabhupada translates Govinda as supreme personality of pleasure. So Arjuna, when he was in the most distressful situation, when he was having the most unhappiness in his life, that time he is calling Krishna as the supreme personality of pleasure. So people in this world, I talked about psychological atheism. One may believe in God, but then when difficult situations come, they say, oh, God does not exist. But then devotees like Arjuna, when they go through the most difficult situations, that time they address Supreme Lord as the Supreme Personality of Pleasure. So that is possible, that understanding that how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Pleasure in all time, place and circumstance, how God is all good, that is possible when a person executes devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. So I will stop with this last story, that once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in the 1920s and 30s, so that time the British government, they wanted to actually spy this Gaudiya Math. At that time there was one particular organization called Anushilan Samiti. So they were actually committing violence in the name of religion. So then they thought, they wanted to find out whether this Gaudiya Math is also is also one such organization, is it also trying to propagate violence? So in order to find out, they sent two people from the British government as spies to the Gaudiya Math. And these two people, they stayed in the Gaudiya Math for one full year. Then they heard every lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur attentively by sitting next to him. After hearing him speak for 1 year so attentively, after 1 year, they decided to join Gaudiya Math. They became so much convinced by his philosophy that they came with the intention of spying, but just by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, they became completely transformed, so much so that they decided to dedicate their life for this mission of Bhagavad Gita. So we request that anybody who takes to the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and hearing a Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, he can also get the same realization like Arjuna had, that he called the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Personality of Pleasure when he was going through the most distressful situation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we'll stop here. Since it's already time, we'll stop.